Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus?
Yes.
Is there anybody here that loves
him?
I don't know. You must have your phone on me, because if somebody asks you, do you love my Jesus? I just believe there ought to be a praise. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Is there anybody here that loves the Lord? I just want to know. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here? That's all the world needs to know. Ask the question. Is there anybody here that'll provoke the praise? Is there anybody here that loves the Lord? Is there anybody here? And I don't care what condition that you might be in. I don't care what your circumstance. But if you think about that, you love the Lord. There ought to be some praise in the house. There ought to be some praise on the call. There ought to be some praise between you and God. There ought to be some praise that takes over the atmosphere. There ought to be some praise that changes where they are. If they just start to think about that God loves them, it'll bring them to tears. If they start thinking about that God loves them, it'll change the condition. If they start thinking about that God loves them, it'll change the way they view one another. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Is there anybody here that loves the Lord? I just want to know if you love the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we say thank you.
We
thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you, Lord, that you did not leave us alone, but you sent your spirit that will take up residence in our heart, Lord God, that we would never be without. You sent your spirit to lead, guide, and direct. You sent your spirit that darkness had to be moved. You sent your spirit that love would abide. You sent your spirit that love would abound. Thank you, Father God, now for this hour.
Hallelujah.
That we can declare, Lord God, that your love is in us, that we can declare, Lord God, that we surrender, that we can declare, Lord God, that we are not how we used to be. We can declare, Lord God, that your forgiveness goes before us. We can declare, Lord God, that your joy leads us. We can declare, Lord God, that we will walk after you. We can declare, Lord God, that every day you will renew our minds, Lord God. We will declare, Lord God,
yes, God,
to a sin sick world, Lord God, that you died that they might have right to life. So today, Lord God, speak to us, that we would understand the power in our words, Lord God. We would understand the power in your word, Lord God. We would understand, Lord God, what thus saith the Lord. Have your way today.
Yes, God.
Release us from the bondage that we live in. Release us, Lord, from the temptation of the enemy. Release us, Lord, for the lies that try to distract. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I know that some people have heard. Why are we still in this condition? I don't know about you, but somebody this week, you made the statement, or you thought the thought, that you are tired of this long term of being in the house. I don't know about you, but I know there was somebody who said, I've had enough, and enough's enough of this COVID. I don't know about you, and I know that somebody somewhere that we've encountered said, I'm sick and tired of the debate. I don't know about you, but somebody on this week said, you know, life just has not been what it ought to be. Somebody had a week this week. Somebody had a week this week that you said, I'm just tired.
My God.
I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I know about me. I know that when I think about what's going on this past week, when I think about this past week and the history of this week, if I look in a natural place, which I can't do anymore, I didn't want this week to take place. I had two aunties that died on this past week. I had a mama that died on this past week. I lost jobs and don't have a job on this past week. And when I look about all the physical things of this world, I wouldn't want to cast it off. I wouldn't want to give. But thanks be to God, I don't look at those things. I look to Christ. I look to you, Lord Jesus. I look to Christ because you are my Alpha and my Omega. So I don't know about you, but thanks be to God that no matter what condition I might think that I'm in, Thanks be to God. I'm not concerned because my God, Jesus the Christ, has everything that I need.
Yes.
And so as we think on those things, as we think on those things, there's a word from God. There's a word from God in his Holy Bible that tells us that there's a certain way for us to conduct ourselves as believers in Christ. So today the word comes from 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, verses 21 and 22. 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, verses 21 and 22. And the word reads, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, because her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. She said, named the child Ichabod. She named the child, the glory is departed out of her doom and her gloom. She spoke a word out of her doom and gloom because of the conditions and the things that had taken place. The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is departed. And there's just a word. There's just a word for us today. God sends us a reminder. There's just a word today. There's a word. What are you saying? What are you saying? The words that proceed out of your mouth. What are you saying? The words that you are declaring over your life and others' lives. What are you saying? And I woke up this morning and the Spirit of God urged me to look up a word this morning in some past messages, and God just wanted to remind me, and I was just at peace with God. And he said, go look at what I'm saying to you. Go look at what I'm saying to my people. Go look at what's going on in times like this. And 1 year ago this week, one year ago this week, the word from the Lord was, what are you saying? And I have to tell you, I can't make this up. I had not looked at any previous messages of what God had said. I did what God said for this week. But this morning, he said, go look up this word. And it pulled up a message from a year ago that said, what are you saying? It's not the same scripture, but God is still asking the question, what are you saying?
My God.
And I just began to rejoice. For the word is true, and it's also true. So what are you saying? What are you saying? What is the situation? I don't know about you, but do you believe that some people are right and some people are wrong? I'm sure you do, because nobody's perfect all the time. Do you believe in the divide among the body of Christ that's taking place today? I don't know about you. How can some be on one side and some be on the other side and the body of Christ is not getting the glory? I don't know about you, but that's the way some things are, because some people, and sometimes we hone in on one certain thing and that's how we live instead of the fullness of God. And I don't know about you, but why is the body of Christ so divided?
Mercy, Lord.
So this week I had conversations with some other pastors, and they're struggling. They're going, I don't know. But then somebody with wisdom said, well, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
My God.
I've pastored a couple of churches and that's been okay as God has elevated. But one thing don't change. Everybody's rah-rah and hallelujah in the beginning, but just wait a while and they begin to fall by the wayside. Say, there's something about this thing of surrendering to Christ that they get a little weary based on their circumstances. But then he said, but don't you worry. God has a remnant that always stands on the word of God. And I said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Why? Why? Because we need to stand in the midst of confusion to speak the truth. So today, what are you saying? There are some things. And right here in 1 Samuel, the question is, what are you saying? Well, let's look at what this young lady was saying. Let's look at her condition here in chapter 4 and verses 21 and 22. Let's look at what she was facing. Let's look at what first, this lady is the wife of Phinehas. She is the wife of Phinehas, who's one of the sons of Eli. And y'all know the story. Maybe you don't, but if you don't, go back and read 1 Samuel and start understanding that as Eli was taken over and Eli was in charge and Eli was being over the children of Israel and prophesying to them and doing what thus said the Lord, Eli had some issues. The issues were that his sons did not do right by God.
Mm.
His sons were living their own type of life. Phinehas had gotten married and Phinehas was doing all right, but we come to find out that they were what had the Ark of the Covenant with Eli. And as long as the Ark of the Covenant was there, the children of Israel were fine. Oh, the Lord, the word of God. Y'all know the Ark of the Covenant, right? The Ten Commandments and the information that Moses brought down, what? They put them in this Ark and followed. And as long as the Ark was with them, everything was okay. But here we find she was now reflecting on some current events. There were some things that had taken place, y'all. Go read chapter 3 and chapter 4. There were some things that had taken place. And one of the things that had taken place was that what? The Ark of the Covenant was going to be captured by the Philistines. And when, because the Ark of the Covenant was going to be captured, we're going to see some things that started to change among Israel. And this young lady had, she realized that what? Her father-in-law, what? Was 98 years old. And when he realized what? That the Ark of the Covenant had gone, he what? He fell over and he died. He died. So this Eli, who was her all in all to point her to God, he died. She also realized that because of her husband and his brother had not been obedient to God, that what? They were killed. So here she lost a father-in-law, whatever you want to say, and she lost a husband, and she lost a brother-in-law. They had been killed. And so here she is, and in verse 19 said, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, said what was with child near to be delivered, and when she heard that the tidings that the Ark of the Covenant, the father, her husband, and the Ark of the Covenant, which was their safety and their protector, which what represents the presence of God, had all been taken away. Her world came crashing down. Her world came crashing down. And because of all these things, and the travail in her life and the things that she was going upon, said pain came upon her. She was expecting a child. Verse 20 said, about the time of her death, she's by herself. She was a crowd. It was about the time of her death that said, those that stood by her said, look, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. Even though you about to die, even though all these things, you are what being about to give birth to a son.
Mm-hmm.
But the word in 20 said, but she did not regard it. And then she spoke. Out of the travail and out of the pain and out of all the things that were going on, she spoke. And look what she said. She named the child Ichabod. The glory is departed from Israel. She named the child Ichabod. Where is the glory? She named the child Ichabod. Glory is gone. She named the child after her pain. She named the child to a potential life of doom. She named the child out of the circumstances that she did not understand. Some say she named the child that because God was gone. He was not there. The ark was gone. But that didn't mean that God was different. That did not mean that God was not who he was. That's just how she saw it. Said she named the child. And so today it asks the question, we're asking the question, what are you saying? We look at conditions, we look at circumstances, and we see things don't always look like we want them to look, but the Bible is very clear about what we say. If you look at Matthew 12 and verses 36 and 37, it says, but I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. But by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt what? Be condemned. She was condemning already something that was not to be condemned.
My Lord.
How many of us speak doubt? How many of us speak discord? How many of us speak out of fear? How many of us speak out of self-righteousness? How many of us speak out of what we think, you know, sort of perception versus what we know, which is the actual fact of what they are? How many of us make statements? How many of us declare what we really don't know? And we're talking about God.
Mercy,
you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe me. Somebody turn to Mark 11:23, and let's look what Mark says. Mark says something in 11:23 that's important for us to understand. In the book of Mark, in verse 23, says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall what? Have so whatsoever he saith. So if we believe today of what Mark said, that we can say to yonder mountain, and we can say we should have, why would we waste our words? Why would we waste our time on things that should not be?
My Lord.
Now, I don't know if I'm coming to your street. I don't know if I'm coming to your address. I don't know if I'm coming to the place that you visit, but somebody been talking about the election. Somebody been praising the election and the voting, and we done forgot about God. I don't know if I'm coming to your street. Somebody has said something negative about the current president, like he said about others. Somebody is saying something negative about who God is. Somebody is saying something about the robbers and the liars and the drug addicts. And somebody is saying about those who are staking their claim on the law and those who are staking their claim on love. And that's what, because we ain't agree. Somebody's out there talking today about why is the church the most divided place, yet we're supposed to be bringing people to us. When we say words that are idle words, when we say and declare that the glory of God is gone in our conversation, then something doesn't happen. But Mark said, no, if you say what I'm told to say because you believe what God did, watch things happen. Thank you, Sister Cece. You said that when you said I can declare the love, it made a difference in your friend. Whether she accepted Christ or not at that moment, I don't know. But she understood what love. Thank you, Deacon Solomon, for you saying that when you spoke about forgiveness and accepted yourself, the word of God changed things. So in the conversation, they were different. Thank you, Minister Lisa. When you said I recognize something is different, even though you're not my friend, I spoke a word of love and concern that things would be different. It shifted and changed the atmosphere. So what are you saying?
My God, my God.
What are we saying today? What are we saying? The enemy has confused us into thinking we have a right to say some things. But I declare unto you today, no, we don't have a right to say some things. We need to rebuke the lie of the enemy and stand on the word of God. Because let me tell you, what she said before she died was not the truth. You know why it wasn't the truth? Because God was still involved and God was still in control. Yes, the ark had been captured. Yes, the Philistine took it. But yes, guess what? If you read between the next few chapters, you'll find that even though they had taken the ark, there were some things that God still did. Yeah, they took it to the Philistine nation. They took it and put it next to their God. That's a wonderful thing. That's all right. But guess what? God was still God. Somebody go read it when you get a chance that when they took it and put it next to their God, they woke up the next morning and their God had fallen over. Oh, my somebody, God. Don't stop there. They picked it up, set it back in place. It must have been weird or whatever reason. They put it back up. But then they came back the next day after they put it back up. And guess what? Not only had it fallen over, but the hands in the head have fallen over. And they realize, oh, in the name of God, we done did something wrong. Oh, in the name of God, God is still working. So even when you don't see all that God is doing, stop speaking that he's not there. Stop speaking that he don't care. Stop speaking that the world ain't great. God is still God and still doing. So what are you saying?
Hallelujah. Yes.
What are you saying? I went back, y'all. I went back after God reminded me of what was supposed to be. And I just began. And God said, well, look at what I've been trying to show you. He said, 2 weeks ago, I said, what? Behold, the glory of God is in you. And then last week, he said, what? We ought to lead with love. He said, if you go back a year ago, he said, I wanted you to understand what? That you got to remember the truth. And he said, you will remember the truth. The truth will stand forever. Then he said, one of the things was the presumption of our perceptions. He said, too often we have perceptions about things, but perceptions are just that, about things. They're not the truth.
Yes.
So what does he say? Let me show you what he says. He said, this is from a year ago, y'all. This is from a year ago, y'all. Said the presumption of our, a presumption is an idea that's taken to be true and often used as the basis for other ideas, although it is not known for certain. So the attitude of belief dictated by probability and assumption. Perception is what? A way of regarding, understanding, or interpreting something. It's a mental impression. The act or fact. Faculty of perception or apprehending means what? It's based on our senses. It's based on our senses. What we can see, what we can hear, what we can feel, what we can touch, or we can taste. That's what a perception is based on. A perception is not based on the truth, which only comes from what? The Spirit of God. But yet today, if you talk to too many people, we all have perceptions.
My Lord.
There's a perception that the leaders of the church don't do what they ought to do. So I ain't giving my money. Thank you, Minister Lisa. You didn't know you were headed into this, but hallelujah, the word with the come. There's a perception that those who believe in Christ, what? They ain't all that because they got their dirt. They don't understand that the dirt's been covered by the blood. They don't understand, but the Spirit of God is leading us, what? Into a greater life, what? One that is free because we are not held in mind. They don't understand, but there's a presumption of perception. And I showed this slide. Somebody can see something on the left and looks like four. Somebody else say, no, it's three. Some say, may I present? May I present in the middle? Say, may I present? May I present in the middle? Says what? A rebukable presumption by what? By what? As stating that I'm too young to be held accountable. Uh-oh, I'm too young to be held accountable that I broke your window. Uh-oh, I can't be held accountable because the devil made me do it. Oh, I can't be held accountable because the leaders didn't do what the leaders ought to do. So that gives me an excuse not to do. That's the presumption of a perception. The other is, my glass is half full and yours is half. Somebody sees it as half. That's a presumption based on what it is, not based on the fact.
Hmm.
Then I found something current. I said, uh-oh, look at what God is saying to us. When first he said what? So we're not dealing with perceptions today. We're dealing with a precept versus a perception. A precept. A precept. A precept is a command or direction given as a rule of what a conduct. The Ten Commandments, the Word of God, is a precept. They do not change. They are given by God. They cannot be altered.
Mm.
A perception is a way of regarding and understand what that precept is. Based on our senses and our mind. Let me give you an illustration that's very vivid today and why there's a division. God said, thou shalt not kill. That means there is no abortion. That is not of God. But the perception is, well, it's okay to have an abortion in certain cases. That is not what God said. That is based on a perception that if you are raped, that you can't have this baby because of the pain. That's the perception that God is not who he is to take you through what's to come and to give you peace.
My God.
That's based on the precept. He'll give you peace. The perception means I can't do it, so it's okay. So we got the great divide. We don't deal with perceptions because perceptions are dealing with our physical, natural mind senses, not dealing with the precept. And the precept what? Comes to us through the spirit that lives within us so that we can see the truth. Oh, that's not all. Somebody take a look at this. If you see this, if you see that, depending on where you stand in, it looks like a 6 or it looks like a 9, based on what you can see. The precept is ask the one who laid it down there and get the truth.
My God.
So if we ask God what it is before we make up our mind and anticipate, we then get the truth. Only the one who placed it there know if it's a 6 or a 9. So instead of trying to figure it out, ask God, what is it? God will tell you, I want to walk 6 times. Oh, no, he put a 9. God said, I want you to do it 9 times. How often should I forgive me? What, 7 times, which is an unconditional number? The precept, the perception is, well, it's 49 times.
Mm.
No, the precept is, it's unforgiveness unlimited. So we have to ask God what it is and not deal with this natural mind. But that's a good thing. Why? Because the spirit of God lives within us. It's my victory, my victory. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, my victory. Your spirit lives within me. That's my victory. That's my victory. So we say, thank you, Lord.
My God.
So God asked the question, what are you saying today? What do we say to our friends? What conversations do we get involved with? What are we saying to those who are struggling? What are we saying to those who are in need and we're too busy to get in need to be involved with their need? What are we saying to those that every day are wondering why this thing is so difficult? What are we saying to those who hate us? What are we saying to those who disagree? What are we saying to our children? Are we raising them up on our perceptions? Or are we raising them up on what? The precept of God. And they are two different things. They don't come together. They are two different. Again, look, sound, maybe appear, but it is not the perception. What we need to raise them up on the precept. What God loves you. What he loves you. That's why he, yeah. We were yesterday. He died for you. God has empowered you to have the spirit that no weapon formed against you. God's spirit will lead, guide you to the truth. And if you are saying this, then that's a good thing. But then we got to use our what? Unspoken word and the actions that we take so that they see that we mean what we believe.
Yes.
So what are you saying today? He's asking us. He's asking the church. He's not asking the sinner. He knows what he's asking the church. What are we saying today? During this pandemic, it's amazing how the church has come to a standstill. We can't get to the building, so our ministry dies. We can't come together, so I don't need to give. We can't come together and see one another, so this thing is big enough, so I'm just going to speak my fear. I'm going to speak my doubt. I'm going to speak my inability to be where he needs me to be. No, we need to speak the precepts, which is the word of God, which is the law of God, so that others might what be delivered and what stand in the name of God. Know that God loves them. No matter whether you got a job or not, God loves you. No matter whether you get COVID or not, God loves you. No matter whether the enemy knocks on your door or not, God is your protector. No matter what the situation might look like, God is your provider. No matter what you're going through, and I look like I might going through, I'm not talking about what I'm going through, but I'm talking about what God is doing in the midst of all this, because God is still God, yes. And his precepts still stand, and no matter what it is, we will never be defeated, and no matter what, David said, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, what? Because thou art with me, no matter how bad it was. So what are you saying today? Second point, I only got two today. I only got two. The second point today, God's glory always wins. Don't choke it out. Don't choke it out. It always wins. If you go to the seventh chapter, seventh chapter of 1 Samuel, and I want you to read it, I want you to understand, because the world has something different for you. But in the seventh chapter, it says what? And as Samuel was offering up burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder. Now, let me give you the context. The Philistines, after their God had fallen over with the Ark of the Covenant, said, we got to give it back. They said, we can't keep this Ark of the Covenant. It done defeated our God. So they took it back. They made sure that the Ark went back to the children of Israel. But then something happened. It had happened before. They got full of themselves. They went, wait a minute. No, we can do this again. We're going to take it back. And as they went to take it back, it's amazing how things happen. Here in this verse, it was the Philistines were discomfited. When they tried to take it back, when they rallied the troops and motivated the troops, we did it before, we're going to do it again. Look, they charged up to go take them over. And God says what? In verse 10, he says what? And as Samuel was offering up burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. They were not successful. They died. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone, set it between there, and called the name of Ebenezer, saying, hitherto had the Lord helped us. Say, so even though the Philistines were successful, the Ark of the Covenant still did what God said he would do.
My God.
He defeated them. So here's what comes into play. What Phinehas' wife saw was a defeat. She did not see the promise of God in the Ark of the Covenant that I'll always make a way. So had she seen the truth, she never would have wanted to name her child Ichabod. She would have named it a promise. But because she dealt with the precepts, with the perception of the defeat that was in front of her, she didn't do with the promise of God that I'll always be with you.
My God.
And how often do we speak on the perceptions and not on the precept?
My God.
So here we see what happened. And if you look at Matthew 15 and 11, if you look at the word in Matthew, look at what God says. In 15 and 11, he said, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, talking about food, but the what? That which cometh out of the mouth, this is what defileth the man. He said, don't speak those things that should not be. Because why? When you speak those things, you bring things into existence that should not be. So we got to be mindful that we don't choke out what God wants to happen. You don't believe me? Look at the parable in Luke 19. He said, what? What kind of ground is this? What kind of ground is this? And he would come, when he beheld the city and looked, Jesus looked over the city. And when he looked over the city, he wept. Why did he whip? If thou had known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thee. He said, if you all had understood the peace that I bring, the power of what I come to do, you would have said, but because they were what? Seeking to kill him and not do the things? Jesus wept. He wept over the city for the condition of the city. Then he went into the city. And if you read the rest of that, and he says what? They were doing the things that they want to do. He's saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it what? A den of thieves. They were selling in the temple, selling doves as a sacrifice for a prophet, doing what they want. And God said, that's not what my temple is about. He says, yeah. They couldn't do it. Then you look at 1 Peter. And what God says in 1 Peter in the first chapter in verses 14 through 16. And he says, as obedient children, not fashion ourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which will have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Yes.
All manner of conversation.
My God.
Stop speaking what is not truth. Stop speaking on perception and speak on my precepts. Not stop speaking on perception and speak on what? My promises. Stop speaking on perception and doubt. Start speaking on what? The guarantee said what? Because it is written, be holy for what? I am holy. And we think yes. about being holy. Then he reminds us of the parable of the seeds. And when the seeds are going, and there were four different seeds. And he said, what? The ones who are on the rock, what? They look good. They shouted good. They appeared to be good. But what? They grew no roots. That's a perception. That's a respect. He said, but the good ground, what? They grew roots. And because they grew roots, the life kept on. And that just reminds us what? That we ought to be connected to the vine, because we got a root in Jesus Christ, which is in the root of David and which is in the root of God. We are connected. We need to not let our perceptions take over the precepts of who we are. I am a child of the King. I am a faithful right. I am surrendered to God, to Jesus Christ. I am who I am because he said it. I am never alone. I do have the spirit that lives within my heart. So the perceptions in my mind are overtaken by the power of the precept that's in my heart. Somebody needs to get that today. The precept, which is the law, which is who God is in your heart. Yes, the perceptions God. Come yeah. to your mind. Yeah. Stop doubting who God is. Stop choking out the blessings. Stop choking out the anointing. Stop choking out what God is giving. So in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this chaos, people are saying it will never come together. That's all right. But in the name of Jesus, I declare that you can have peace. In the name of Jesus, yes, I God. Declare that you have victory. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you are never alone. And if you don't believe me, just look at what the word said. I made a chart that I want you to see.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
The things we speak against God, fear, doubt, self-righteousness, self-centeredness, worldliness, our pain, and the list could go on and on. When we allow our pain to speak out, instead of what God did, it is God's glory. God's glory speaks what? The truth. Yes. I don't care what pain you endured. Christ's pain was greater. But I don't care what pain you endure, because Christ, what? I paid the price for your pain. I give you victory over your pain. I give you victory over fear. I give you victory over doubt. God's glory yes. speaks what? I give you victory over self-righteousness. I give you victory over self-centeredness. I give you victory over following after what the world does.
Yes, yes.
We're in it, but not of it, y'all. I don't Thank care what Lord. The political system say. God's got a victory. And we up here arguing left and right about a party. The parties are perceptions. They are not precepts.
Thank you, Lord.
But God, if Thank we stay God. Focused on God's glory and speak the truth about God's glory and speak victory about who God is, I come to tell you, he'll move mountains. I come to tell you that when there's a way that you don't think you can make it, he'll part Red Sea. I come to tell you that when the ark has been taken and it might have looked like it's been captured, I come to tell you, they can't hold my God in no cell. They can't take my God where God don't work. They can't defeat me. They can tell me to not be in the building, and I'm okay with that, but they can't stop the work that God has given me to do. They can't stop you sharing the truth with somebody wants to hear. All corporate America, they don't ask nobody about their politics or religion. The devil is the lie. I'm going to not just ask. I'm going to declare who God is, because that's the love that he has. And I ain't worried whether I'm asking you or not. I'm just telling you what I believe. But I believe that in the name of Jesus, when I speak Jesus, when I speak the Spirit, when I speak his love, it'll break the yokes of bondage that they might be calling. And guess what's going to happen? Like the day of Pentecost, when you speak the word, folks will come running. Somebody, here's the truth. We don't want to hear. The reason the church isn't growing like it ought to grow, because too many people refuse to speak the truth and then invite somebody to Jesus. Too many people have made up their minds to give it. No, I can't give because they're going to mess it up. Too many people have said, you know, that's the organization, but let them see the organism that's in you. And when you tell somebody, that it will break their bondage. When you tell somebody, there will be peace, even when they don't want to come to where you are.
Say on, preacher. Say on.
Preach this morning.
Operate on the precepts.
My God.
Not on the perceptions.
My God.
That's how God would change things. Yes. I come to tell you today, I have to learn to stay on the precepts of God, on the promises of God, and not deal with the perceptions of the divine. Deal with the perceptions. I'll roll up in a corner and I'll give up. But because I stand on the word of God, which is the precept of God, I'll never be defeated. I'll never give up. I'll just continue to declare in the midst of those who agree, in the midst of those who don't agree. I'll continue to let the Spirit of God have its truth. I'll continue to let God speak, and I just go along. Lord, take away my senses that I might not try to change your word to fit my condition. Lord, take away my understanding. And God said, all I want to do is replace your consciousness with my consciousness. And if God replaces our consciousness with his consciousness, then we never have to worry.
My God.
So today, what are you saying? I don't know why God had to say this to us again today, but we need to be certain that we are saying about Jesus and that it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. So what are you saying? So you understand, you know the song, this is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded. Uh-oh, that's what Phineas' wife said. It looked like she was surrounded by defeat, but what? I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded by you. What? I'll stay on my knees. And then I just want to read some words that God said in terms of what God's grace is, the words with the song. It says, how did I make it all these years? How did I make it all these years? And he says, what? How did I make it this far? Through the valleys and over the hills. I know it had to be God. How do I make it through the storm? How did I make it through the rain? And you want to know just how I got here? It's so easy to explain. It was God's grace, God's grace. 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 I made it this far. I made it this far by the grace of God. God's grace, God's grace. You want to know why you still here? You know it's about what? God's grace, God's grace. How do you make it? And then he ends up, he said, Lord, I thank you for how you brought me. How you brought me through the night. Lord, you kept me. Lord, you made a way. Yes, it was God's grace that brought me this far. So today you ought to give praise to God. Today you ought to thank God that in spite of yourself, God brought you this far by God's grace. Grace started on Calvary's cross. Grace started when Jesus said, I give up my life. Grace stayed there while he was yet in the grave. Grace got up when he got all victory. Grace left here but said, I'll leave you a comforter. What? That's some stuff. So in the second chapter of Acts, when the anointing came down of the Holy Spirit, they were all speaking separate language, yet they were one accord. God's grace in 2020 is we're speaking separate languages. Look like we don't understand, but the Holy Spirit of God speaks one thing, which is the precept of God, the love of God, the victory of God, the dynamic, awesome power of God, yes, and we got it. So today, when you see somebody that's in need, speak grace. Today, when you see somebody that don't understand, speak grace, speak love, speak power. Today, when somebody comes against you, speak grace. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. No matter how I hurt, I forgive. He'll take away your pain. Then he'll put you on the offense and allow you to change their life. Because they're going to go, what is this thing? I don't perceive that they're trying to get me back. I perceive that they're trying to bless me. So yesterday, in the name of Jesus, allow the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to speak love. And as you speak love, watch how God will change your atmosphere. Spirit, watch how God will change their life. So today you got to go tell somebody. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't be afraid to shake a hand if God directs. Don't be afraid that even if you get it, because your God will heal you. Don't be afraid if somebody says, I'm intentionally going to hurt you. Bring it on, because my God's got it. And the love that Jesus had for me, I'm going to have for you. So today, stop running and ducking and hiding. Today, don't let fear abound. Today, don't let doubt abound. Today, don't let hate abound. Today, don't let self-centeredness abound. Today, just let the grace of God that passes all, the grace of God.
Jesus.
The grace of God. The power of God. The victory of God.
Yes.
Hold you, protect you, and lead you.
Jesus.
So what are you saying today? You know something? I don't care what you said yesterday. I don't care what you said an hour ago. God just wants to know what you're going to say from this point forward.
My God.
And even if we stumble and fall, God said, I got you.
Jesus.
He said, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. He said, don't worry. The ark has been returned. And because they're coming up against you,
hallelujah.
Don't you worry. They did it once, but God permitted it. Why? Because he had a greater work to do. God says what? He discomfited the enemy. And then he sent you down. He sends us down to take in the spoil.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the God that we serve.
Yes,
so I don't know about you, but if you're here today and you don't know this God that I'm talking about, he's the God of love. He's the God of victory. He's the God of salvation. If you don't know him, just believe that Jesus died for you so that you might have this right to the tree of life, and not just the right to be with him, but to become an heir with him. So we invite you, if you know Jesus, but maybe you've been stumbling and falling. God's forgiveness is so awesome.
Yes.
We don't come to him out of fear. We come to him because of his love.
Yes.
His love is greater than anything that we know. So we just invite you to say, Holy Spirit, as we prepare, and I'm going to back up, as we're going to ask Minister Lisa to lead us in prayer as we pray and surrender to the Spirit of God. We just want to know that God's grace is with us and that he is with us. So whatever your needs, we call it out to God. Whatever your desires, we call out to God. But as she comes and takes us to the throne of grace, we walk in victory.